The Bleed Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMaxBatteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMaxBatteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMaxBatteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON at checkout. That's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. 20% off those already low prices. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CellMaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys podcast. Thanks as always to Dolly Dreams for the intro music. And this week, we're joined by the newly verified Jack Simone NBA. Jack, welcome to the show, you verified. Congratulations again. I know I've told you before, but verify, that's something.
Yeah, it's kind of weird having a blue check, but you know, it's just a check. Still gotta work, still gotta write, still gotta do all the same things. It's just I got a little check to my name, so people are gonna check me more now that they have the check, if that makes sense.
There's Jack. I'm just like everybody else. I'm just a normal. Jack. I mean, hey. You got the blue check now, so you can go full on Ari Abraham or whoever. You know, you can tweet out Damian Lillard requested a trade, and everybody will just believe you, you know, because you got that check going on. So it's, it seems like that's what somebody might have done yesterday. I don't know, but that's not what we're here to talk about right now, the low stuff. Although there is some fun stuff that I know we poked around on Twitter about yesterday. Played Twitter tag, however you want to say, about talking about that kind of situation, but. Regardless of that, we want to talk about Team USA because some crazy stuff's going on there. But I guess before we get into that, I want to do a little bit more bookkeeping and say, just because it came out the other day, so I feel like I should mention, I did see Space Jam late last night. I went over my friend's house and the new Space Jam, of course, I'm talking about. I went over his house and he asked me if I wanted to see if I'd seen Tenet yet because he wanted to see it still. And I was like, no, I still haven't seen it. I want to see it too. So he starts to pull up HBO Max, and I didn't realize he had that, and I didn't realize Space Jam 2 was even on there. I might be naive for that, but he pulls it up, and I just see Space Jam 2, and I was like, wait a second. I was like, did that say Space Jam 2? He's like, you can just watch that? And he's like, yeah, it's like, whatever. And I was just like, yeah, let's just watch it. I mean, it might be terrible, but I want to see it for, just professional reasons. I love basketball, so let's just see what it's all about. And I gotta say, Jack, I won't go into too many spoilers. I don't want to spoil anything. Although there's not much to spoil, but I didn't love it. I haven't seen the original Space Jam in maybe 5 to 7 years. I can't remember exactly, but it seemed like the story just made more sense. You know, it fit into the whole thing of when Jordan was retiring and. That time at his time out of basketball, and it just felt a little more compelling than LeBron's thing of like, I don't think I'm spoiling anything here because it was in the trailer, like getting sucked into a computer randomly. Like I couldn't really get behind that storyline ever, and a lot of the parts just felt like, you know, as much of a remake as it could possibly feel like at certain times, and it was like, oh, this is just. You know, this is really just a lot like the first one. So, I didn't love it. And as I recall, again, I don't have the best memory when it comes to Space Jam from when I last saw it. But I think Michael Jordan was a bit better of an actor, too. But I could be wrong on that. But, yeah, I know the reviews aren't great for it right now either.
Yeah, I haven't had the chance to see it yet. But that sounds about what I expected. I mean, the first one, Michael Jordan doesn't do much acting in general. Like you said, the storyline's mainly just... You know, the Looney Tunes saying, oh, Jordan, come help us beat the Monstars. Meanwhile, this one, LeBron, is trying his best to put on his big boy actor pants. And I got nothing against it. I mean, you do what you got to do to be successful. And if that's what he wanted to do, that's fine. But it just seemed like this one was a lot more forced, whereas the last one was, oh, cool, let's put Michael Jordan in a movie. That'll be funny. So, I mean, that it just makes sense from that perspective. Like I said, I'm not much of a movie guy, so I haven't had the chance to see it yet, but I'm sure when I see it, I won't mind it that much. It's just going to be like, meh.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it was. It you know, and I just looked it up. Space Jam, the original Space Jam has a 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, not like, you know, Oscar winning by any means either, but Space Jam 2 right now, 31% are the early reviews. So, you know, I just liked that it felt a little more real with Jordan. It was like, you know, the movie kind of started with him on the golf course and him playing baseball. And, you know, it was like people and they kind of poked fun at him because he was struggling a little bit while he was playing baseball, you know, so they kind of made fun of that a little bit. And, you know, it fit a real world storyline that I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And, it kind of wrote me in. But this one was like, you know, eh. So I don't know. People are trying to go see it. I mean, I think it's worth going to see if you're a basketball fan, just for the heck of it. I mean, you know, it's a basketball movie, so if you're into basketball enough, go see it. But I wouldn't get your hopes up too much because it wasn't great. Okay, anyway, I just wanted to mention that because I had just seen it last night. Let's talk about Team USA a little bit, because things you could say aren't going well for Team USA. I just want to know, Jack, like, the first thing I want to ask is, when you saw that JaVale McGee was going to be on the team, just first thing that popped into your head as soon as you saw it was JaVale McGee was named as a replacement, because I knew it wasn't a joke because it came to my phone, but I was really astonished. I didn't understand how many people had to have said no for you to get to JaVale McGee.
Well, I mean, it was definitely an odd choice, like, purely out of the randomness of it, but I like the direction of the selection, if that makes sense, because I don't think they needed another, you know, star. I don't think they needed to add not that Joel Embiid would be on Team USA, but they don't need someone of that caliber, because like you said, they've been struggling so far, and I think a big reason of it is because they just play isolation basketball. I'm not saying Bam Adebayo can't set screens or Draymond Green can't set screens, but JaVale McGee knows the role he's supposed to play, and I'm assuming he'll continue that on Team USA in a very limited minutes, obviously. But if they bring in another star who just wants to score the ball, I don't think that would work out too well considering how they've performed so far with their star-studded lineup. So I think Keldon Johnson and JaVale McGee are going to be able to play their role fine and do nothing more, and I think that's exactly what Team USA wanted. It's kind of like the argument that I have with, you know, our buddy Sam. I've had with him in the past. It's Steph Curry versus Duncan Robinson taking, you know, a catch and shoot three. Yeah, obviously Steph Curry's the best shooter of all time. He's probably better at taking that shot. But who takes that shot more? Duncan Robinson. All day, every day. Right? So it's like, yeah, obviously the superstar's better at it, but they're not used to that role. Right? Kevin Durant's not in the corner taking catch and shoot threes all game. Neither is Dame Lillard, neither is Jason Tatum. Meanwhile, you know, a guy like Duncan Robinson or someone like Keldon Johnson's maybe more used to that role. The same can be applied to JaVale McGee versus like Bam Adebayo or other star centers. Like, he's used to the role he needs to play, and maybe that can help Team USA more than a lot of people realize.
Okay, so I would just disagree, because the whole point of Team USA is just to team star players up. I mean, that's, you know, what's happened since the Team USA has been around. And you, look, if you put Steph Curry in that role, or Duncan Robinson's role, he's probably better at it than Duncan Robinson. And that's besides, you know, the point that when you look across the NBA at some of the other players you could have had, like, there's a bunch of players I would want to just be a role player for me over JaVale McGee. I mean, you know, like, it's just, I understand from your standpoint of, well, you know, oh, you need role players on the team too to you know, make it all work. But I mean, there's a lot of guys that I could think of that I would pick ahead of JaVale McGee. I mean, I don't know if, and I don't know what his eligibility necessarily is, but I know Devin Booker's supposed to be joining Team USA. I mean, what about DeAndre Ayton? Like, I don't know if Ayton is technically, I think, you know, he might be technically eligible for another country too, but so is Bam. So, I mean, that's a guy that I would pick over him pretty easily. Like, I know there aren't many, you know, big men in the NBA anymore, but I just think it's just, with the way they've been struggling, I can't imagine that the answer is to get a player like JaVale McGee in there and he's going to help you figure it out.
No, yeah, like I said, it's definitely random. They definitely could have chosen someone else. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I know Aiton's from the Bahamas, which I think is just, I don't know if that's technically U.S. because I know it's a U.S. territory, but it's a weird selection. A part of it probably is that he knows some of the guys on the teams because he's been around the block a few times, so he's probably, you know, friendly with some of the people on the team that has good relationships with everybody, so that probably helps. But it's definitely random, and obviously Keldon Johnson has the Pops connection, so that helped him out a little, but he's a good player too, so I don't mind that selection as much. It's definitely weird though, so I'm curious to see, because they might have to add one more too, because Jeremy Grant has COVID, so they need to figure that out. Plus, you know, they'll have Booker, Holiday, and Middleton coming over, I assume, but more changes to come, I would assume, with Team USA.
I mean, Jack, the names we initially heard were, like, it was Tobias Harris and Christian Wood, which, you know, not all stars, but both of those players scored around 20 points per game last season. Like, yeah, Christian Wood missed some time, but they are both pretty good players. And if either of those guys were named to the team, I would have said, you know, okay, those are good NBA players. Those are high-end NBA players. But JaVale McGee and Keldon Johnson just aren't. Like, I don't... Honestly, besides when you get those like token, you know, the few times they had a token college guy, even when it's some of those cases, like I can't think of a player that was on Team USA since 92 that's worse than JaVale McGee.
Well, Kenneth Faried was on Team USA, and I'm not saying I dislike Kenneth Faried or Mason Plumlee, but neither are exactly stars in the NBA.
I would still say that both of those guys were better. Mason Plumlee, more of an argument. Kenneth Faried, at the time he was on Team USA, was really, really good.
Yeah.
Like back then, Faried was a special, you know, type of player for the Nuggets, and it seemed like he might be, you know, angling towards being an All-Star one day. So at the time, I wouldn't push back too much against Kenneth Faried. Mason Plumlee, I guess a different case, but even then, Mason Plumlee, you know, there was at least an excuse for it, because If I recall, was Coach K still involved with Team USA at the time Plumlee was selected?
Yeah.
So,
I'm not sure, maybe.
Because it was right on the cusp of that. So, you know, there's that connection there, the Duke connection that Plumlee, you know, helps Plumlee get in. And people mentioned, oh, yeah, Duke players having an inside route to Team USA and all this stuff passed. So there was at least, like, a reason you could point to, kind of similar to Keldon Johnson of, like, oh, yeah, that's why Plumlee's around, that's why Keldon Johnson's around, whatever. Like, JaVale McGee, like, besides the thing of you talking about, like, maybe he has some friends on the team, like, it's just, it doesn't make sense. And I've looked at the odds. I was surprised to see they were still heavy, heavy favorites. I don't know if I'd pick them at this point. I guess this is helping your point a little bit about these other teams, but I just feel like, you know, like the Australias out there, like a team like that, or Slovenia, or whoever, like they just play better together than it seems like Team USA does. And I know Australia gave them trouble in FIBA too. So, I mean, I'm seriously concerned. If you put a gun to my head right now and asked me if they were gonna win, I would say no. Like, I just, after the way they came off FIBA, which was kind of a surprise they lost to me there, and now, like, with the team the way it is right now and the dire state they're in of, like, losing the two or three exhibition games, their game against Australia is canceled. Now two or perhaps three players are going to be leaving the team for various reasons. Like, it's just, I feel like this is not going to go well for Team USA. And by the way, the state of the Olympics overall is not great right now, because I know they just said someone tested positive for COVID in the Olympic Village, and now there's chaos over there, and Tokyo didn't want it in the first place. So there's a whole slew of messes going on surrounding the Olympics right now. But certainly the one around Team USA has given me enough concern to say, like, I honestly don't think they're going to win the gold this time around.
See, I mean, I wouldn't place, like, all my bets on it, because there are some good teams, but I think you're absolutely crazy if they're not the odds-on favorite still. They still have Kevin Durant. They still have Jason Tatum. They still have Dame Lillard. And I know, like you said, and like I even said, some other teams could be, you know, built a little bit better, but when it comes down to it, that you still got the top 10 players in the entire tournament on your team, maybe 9 of the top 10 because Luke is playing, but it's absolutely absurd to have anybody above them in front of the odds from at least an odds maker's standpoint. And I think anybody who picks another team, you could maybe go with, you know, Slovenia because Luke, or Australia because they're all right, but it's too much of a talent gap to pick anybody else, I think.
I mean, I'm not picking anybody else specifically. I'm just saying the field. You know, I'll take the field over Team USA right now, especially again, it just, the vibe around the team is bad. It's like, it's not good right now. So there's just, everything to me is signaling this team is like destined to fail a little bit. And I hate to put it that way in such blunt terms and make it sound like so, you know, just like I'm completely, you know, dismissing any of the talent they actually have on the roster. But it's just, it's just hard to look at the way things are trending for them and feel good about it at all to me. That's just that's the way it comes across to me. I mean, they're not playing well together. The players are falling off the team left and right at this point. And I don't see how making the team worse talent-wise, it makes them better and should make me feel any better about it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's just too much talent on the team for them to I think I wouldn't even take the field over that. It's just that big of a talent gap.
So let me ask you this then. What did you make of the first their performance in the exhibition games?
They look bad, but I think they were also adapting to the FIBA rules. I think that's a big underrated, you know, thing. Like these reports came out, Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum were staring down the refs because they're used to touch fouls. You saw Dame Lillard and Kevin Durant kind of flinging the ball up. You know, you saw players jumping into defenders on the three-point line. Kevin Love did that. And I think as much as they are used to those fouls, they're good enough players where they're going to adapt to that. There's no way they just go through the entire tournament playing that same way. They're going to see how they're being reffed, they're going to adjust to it, and they're going to be able to change it. And I think, you know, players like Draymond Green and Bam Adebayo specifically are going to take advantage of that because they can be more aggressive, right? Draymond Green's one of the most aggressive players in the league, and now that he knows he can have some leeway with the whistle, I think he's going to take advantage of that. I think Kevin Durant's going to be more aggressive. I don't think they're going to throw up these shots like looking for fouls because now they know they're not going to get them. They're going to adjust how they play. And once they do that, then they're going to be the same Team USA that we saw against Argentina the other day, who was blowing them out by 30 points or whatever.
Yeah, I just, I mean, to me, I don't think that the roster is as talented as, I mean, first of all, I think this is the least talented Team USA roster that we've had. Maybe I would dare to say since before they started allowing NBA players on the roster, because it...
Are you talking just Olympics or just like FIBA or anything?
Just Olympics, just the Olympics are rosters I'm talking about. Because right now, if I have my, I'm trying to make sure I have the math right on this. I think they only have three players that made the All-Star team this year on their roster. I think that's all I have. And I, you know, one of those players.
I don't know about that one. I think I can count at least four.
Who?
And kind of at least four. You got KD, Tatum. Because
Kevin Durant did not make the All-Star team.
Oh, you're right, because he was hurt. All right, so yeah, three. You got, what, Dame, Jason, and Zach LaVine?
Well, I suppose, I guess Kevin Durant was technically an All-Star. I was under the impression, because I knew he missed so many games, that he wasn't technically on there. But no, they
got,
did put Kevin.
You got Beal, too.
So that's fine. I was going to give, Beal's not on the team anymore. So I wasn't going to, okay. I wasn't going to count him. Yeah, because, the way that it is going in, they have four, which is Kevin Durant, which, you know what, fine. I don't have a problem counting him, even though technically I don't think he should have been an All-Star last year with the amount of games he played, but whatever. Four All-Stars on the team. Did I count wrong again? Okay, five. Sorry, I missed Booker.
Is Book on the team?
I missed Booker, yeah. But even still, I was doing the math on the fly. But listen, that's still insanely low for Team USA. Insanely low. Like, usually, it's well over half of the team is made up of All-Stars. And the fact that it's you know, less than half this time around, it really is not the Team USA type of Team USA team that anybody is used to. So, and we've seen, like, the team, you know... I don't know. It's just the way that it's constructed to me, and I'm gonna look up something else now, too. But the way that the team is made up is just every sign to me is pointing to that this is not gonna be their year. And I think just the negativity around it, the things that are going wrong. I assume that the, you know, condensed NBA schedule is going to also like be something that people bring up and say, oh well, you know, these players had to jump from this to that, and like they just had so much basketball, they got run down, blah blah blah. Like, I think that for a lot of different reasons, including that one, that I mean, I don't know if you can really make an argument that any Team USA Olympic roster is worse than this one. I really think that this is going to be they're going to need another redeem team in 2024. I'll say it like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just a lack of interest nowadays. Obviously, you have LeBron James making Space Jam, which you could say is a valid reason. He's also 36, so he's done what he's needed to do for Team USA. Steph Curry, did Steph Curry ever play for Team USA? I can't remember. Maybe he played 1 year in the Olympics, but I can't remember if he ever got the chance to.
I thought maybe he did in 2016. I think he did in 2016.
You're losing guys. Like, and I think a part of that is most of the all-stars, like the best players in the NBA in years past, right? You got Duncan, you got Kobe, you got Melo, Chris Paul, all these guys playing for Team USA. Most of the guys, or at least half of the guys who are at the top of the league nowadays, aren't from the USA, right? Think about it. Like, in the top 10 in general, right? I'd put Giannis in the top 10 players. I'd put Luka in the top 10 players. You could make fringe arguments for Embiid and Jokic, who was the MVP of the league. So it's a mixture of the lack of interest in playing for Team USA because of the offseason, because of the grind of the season, like you said, the, you know, shortened season COVID rules. And a part of it is they just don't have as many, you know, talented players at the top of the league from the US anymore, right? And that being said, I would still take Jeremy Grant over anybody playing in the EuroLeague or anybody playing in the NBL or playing overseas. So you still have that advantage there. I think that's the reason for the lack of talent. It's not because of, you know, it's just the worst they've ever been. It's because so many of the talented guys in the NBA nowadays aren't from the US.
I would also say that I think that I think there's a culmination of reasons why certain star players didn't want to play for Team USA. I think that one element, I don't know if it's lost its luster as much as I maybe played up to the other day when I was talking about it. I think that part of the reason why players aren't playing, I think maybe it's just a tad bit that, I think a bigger reason is that they're coming off of this season that was obviously really grueling from what everybody, you know, says and everything like that. And also, I think that these players that turn it down, and a lot of the players around the NBA, have to be tired of, like, being in COVID protocols. And I'm sure a lot of players wanted to have the summer off. Like, just wanted to say, you know what, I really, you know, love playing for, you know, like, you know, I like playing basketball. I love it. It's everything I do. But at the end of the day, like, I just went through COVID health and safety protocols for a year straight. I just want to have like 3 months where I don't have to get COVID tested every single day and be locked in my room and all this stuff, because, you know, much of the US isn't like that anymore. And like, I can kind of have just a little bit of freedom. I know everybody still has to be safe, but, you know, there's just an element there that makes it, it's just a little bit less stressful. So to me, I have to imagine that that played a large part as well.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, you think about teams like, you know, the Celtics, the Nuggets, the Lakers, and the Heat, for example, right? They were in the bubble. They were the last four teams in the bubble. Then you look at Jason Tatum and Bam Adebayo. They haven't had a real offseason in, what, 2 years now? And they've only had one, or I guess two real offseasons in their entire NBA career. Like, you look at Duncan Robinson, who was in consideration to be one of those last two spots that eventually went to McGee and Johnson. He hasn't had an offseason yet in his NBA career because he was on the Heat, right? He was an undrafted free agent, and then the season got shut down, and then the bubble, and then this, and then that, and then COVID. And so a bunch of these younger players who, you know, sometimes you would see join Team USA haven't had the chance to have an offseason. And then you got players like LeBron, who, yeah, you could say Space Jam or making his movie or whatever, that's the reason. He's hasn't had any time off, and he's 36, you know? Same thing for Anthony Davis. He's barely had any time off. So I think you're probably right. I think a lot of these players are just tired. Not tired of anything. They're just tired at this point.
And Jack, I just double checked this while we were talking. How many players, and I checked, this was All-Star the year of Team USA. How many players on the 2016 Team USA roster do you think were All-Stars of the 12 that were on there?
All-Stars that season?
All-Stars that specific season. And I'll give you the names afterwards, but you'll just have to guess out of thin air.
I could probably guess the names. I mean, it's probably like, tell me if you get the number right first. It's probably like 10 of the 15, 8 or 10, maybe even higher, 12, like around that range.
So it was 9, so you said 8 or 10 first. And 10 I would have given it to you, because the three players that weren't were DeAndre Jordan, who, you know, was an All-Star the next following season.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes, of course, the clear non-All-Star of the list. and Kyrie Irving, who was not an All-Star in 2016 because he was injured for much of that season. So that again has a big, you know, asterisk next to it because Kyrie Irving absolutely an All-Star. So really 9 and for all intents and purposes 10 of the players on that Team USA roster were All-Stars. And that's just to you know, you can compare and contrast it to this season. And on that team, Jack, when you look at their performance in the team, you know, the Olympics, they had some scares at certain points. They weren't as dominant as, like, everybody makes out the 2012 team to be and Team USA usually is. Like, the world was coming, to your point about, you know, the talent across the globe getting a lot better. And that's also a factor in what I'm, you know, the reason that I'm so skeptical of how they're going to do this time around. Because the talent of the world just continues to get better and better, and this Team USA roster has gotten significantly worse. So last time around, in 2016, they beat Australia by 10. And, you know, that's a fine win, but again, you have to consider the margins they're going to be going up against this time around. They only beat Australia by 10. They only beat Serbia by 3, and they only beat France by 3. Now, Serbia had Jokic, and again, they're not going to have Jokic, so that's another factor. But and they also only beat Spain by 6. And this was all, none of this was exhibition play, this was all tournament play. So, for those reasons, I look at it, I say they had some close wins last time around, and I feel like this time, with their depleted roster, with everything going wrong for them, there's going to be a time where they lose, whether it be in the group play or in the knockout round. There's going to be a point for Team USA where it just becomes too much and they're not going to make it through. I'm fully convinced of that.
Yeah, I mean, it, like you said, a big part of the reason they're getting in closer contests is because the teams around the league are so much better. You look at Team Nigeria, right? And you think, oh, I don't know any names on that team. They had, like, what, 6 NBA players? And I know those NBA players were the likes of, you know, Precious Achiuwa, Kezia Okpala, Gabe Vincent. If you're in the NBA, you're a good basketball player. You're not Kevin Durant. You're not so-and-so. You're not, you know, Tatum, Dame, whatever. You're still in the NBA. So it's not like they're playing against bums, right? Realistically, they're playing against really talented NBA players. And you look at who they played against, Argentina. Are there any NBA players on Argentina anymore? Like, realistically, is it just Luis Scola at 40 years old?
You know. Yeah, I was going to say, unless you want to count Luis Scola, so, I don't, you know.
So they're going up against these young, hungry NBA players on Nigeria. They're going against a whole slew of NBA players in Australia, and Patty Mills, Matisse Thybulle, you know, Joe Ingles. So they're going up against actual talent now. And casual NBA fans will say back, oh, Kevin Durant going up against Gabe Vincent, and he lost. Oh, he's a fraud. Like, they're still NBA players. If I pulled up to a court and played Gabe Vincent one-on-one, I wouldn't score a bucket in 10 games, right? So they're still in the NBA. They are still quality players. So the competition's definitely going to be a lot harder. Luka's going to be there, you know, balling. I'm sure he'll give the USA fits if they have to face off. You got all these teams around the world with all these NBA players now. Team players are eager to represent their country, so it's going to be a lot harder to win. Like, back in the Dream Team, I'm not taking away from that team. It's the best team ever assembled, in my opinion. They were dominant, but how many, you know, foreign players were there, realistically? Like, the competition has gotten significantly harder overseas. That's no excuse for Team USA. There's still a big talent gap, but it's just a reason for why they're getting in these tougher contests.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because as I was looking for replacements for Drummond, I was like, what big would I want over Drummond? And this speaks to the talent that, you know, has grown overseas across the league.
Drummond?
No, sorry. I'm sorry. I meant to say JaVale McGee. But
throwing shots at Drummond. Yeah,
but hey, who would I want over Drummond? Everybody, of course. No, but I was looking. I was like, all right, who would I want on Team USA over you know, JaVale McGee that can kind of do what he does? So I go to some of the bigs and I look at, you know, just the leaders and rebounders, because that's the easiest way to look at some of the bigs that can fill that JaVale McGee role. Okay, so number one, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Nope, Greece. Number two, Rudy Gobert. No, France. Tied for fourth, Nikola Jokic. Nope, Serbia. Number six, Clint Capella, Switzerland. Number eight, Joel Embiid. So, you know, you go down, number 10, Jusuf Nurkić. So you go down the list of some of the best bigs in the league, and it's like all foreign players, and it's mostly foreign players. It's ridiculous. So I that should speak to everybody, kind of the growth of the big men around the league. And when you really look at you mentioned Joel Embiid earlier and saying, like, well, you wouldn't want a player like that on the team. And I know, you know, that's not what you were saying exactly, but, you know, you don't need another player that can score. And you brought up Joel Embiid as an example. Like, it really struck me when you said that, how many of the centers, just the center group especially, how really heavily weighted it is towards players from other countries, from across the globe. And the U.S., I guess you could say, has kind of failed to develop players at that position to the elite level that the foreign players have right now. So, that is something that immediately struck me when we were talking about that, and the reason why it maybe came down to JaVale McGee.
Yeah, and you definitely could have found other players outside of JaVale McGee, right? Like, it's obviously a very weird choice. I'm aware of that. I'm not crazy. Like, I'm looking at the same, numbers you are. Clint Capela, Rudy Gobert, Domantas Sabonis technically could have played for Team USA because he was born in Portland, but he's Lithuanian, so I assume he'd rather.
I think he's played Lithuania, for Team Lithuania already, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So that makes a lot of sense. You know, you could have brought in Enes Kanter, but he's from Turkey. I don't think they like him very much, though. That's another, topic to discuss, but shout out Enes Kanter for all the work he's doing. It's great to see. You could have brought in Towns, maybe. Yeah. Julius Randle would have been actually a decision I would have liked to see them bring in. But
yeah, right. And by the way, I was looking at the playoff list, so I was missing the names like Jonas Valanciunas, another one. Domantas Sabonis, like you said, who again, grew up in Portland, but also, playing for an overseas team. Nikola Vucevic, And Enes Kanter obviously has the trouble with Turkey, but that's another, player that would, in theory, if it wasn't for his problems with Turkey, play for someone overseas. So there are, like, it's just insane the amount of talent that there is that overseas. And another one, Steven Adams, that immediately came to mind. I was like, because you start talking about setting screens, and immediately the first, anytime you talk about setting screens, I think about Steven Adams. And, of course, Steven Adams from New Zealand. So it's, it's just that it's so difficult to find these players that could possibly do this for Team USA. And by the way, I will say, you mentioned any USA players playing for Team Argentina. Double text. How could you forget Facu Campazzo? Of course, he's the most notable. Yeah, the most notable name on the list. That Facu Campazzo and Luis Scola pick and roll, man. I'm telling you, that thing is going to be lethal. I don't know how Team USA is going to stop it. no, but I mean, I feel like a lot of factors are coming together that are going to lead to Team USA's kind of downfall. And you mentioned Team Australia there. Second in odds to win the championship or the gold medal, so that's another big one. And you mentioned some of the names. I mean, it's just like Aaron Baines, Dellavedova, Exum, like Josh Green, Joe Ingles, Patty Mills, and Matisse Thybulle are the biggest ones from then for the NBA fans that stick out. So obviously that's going to be tough to take down. And by the way, France. I mean, normally a team that I've hated in Team USA past, I think I'm pulling for France this time around, because for me, their team Celtic, okay? And I know that not all these players still play for the Celtics, but you got Evan Fournier, Vincent Poirier, and by the way, my guy, of course, Guerschon Yabusele on the team. Shout out to Yabu making the French national team. So, to me, I know that they, France is not maybe what they used to be, and they don't have they don't have some of their players from the past, but with Batum and DiColo, and on top of Fournier and Gobert, Timothy Luwalu, Frank Ntilikina, Poirier, Yabu, like, I like France, too. That's going to be a tough out as well. Like, there's a lot of teams that you need to be worried about.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just trying to do my due diligence and do some research about, like...
I'll just say also, while you're looking that stuff up, that, I mean, back in, 2012, 2016, it wouldn't be hard to... not know anybody on the team USA was playing. It was almost rare to have, a few NBA players you recognized, except for, Spain or France. Outside of those two teams, it was rare to find like a recognizable NBA player on one of those other rosters. Now it's hard to find a roster without one. I mean, even you go to Czech Republic, you got Tomas Satoransky on there and Jan Vesely, for, older NBA fans are going to remember that. Of course, France. Germany, Mo Wagner is rocking for Germany this year. And Isaac Bonga as well. You go to, Iran might be a little tougher. I don't know if I'm going to find anybody on the Iranian team that I recognize. But Italy, obviously, you got Danilo Gallinari, Nicolo Melli. Like, those are names you should immediately recognize as an NBA fan. Japan, if you saw that Anthony Edwards dunk, you're going to remember. You're going to be familiar with Yuta Watanabe on there. Rui Hachimura. I mean,
yeah. Still on Italy. Yeah. Nico Mannion's on Italy, too. So you got players. And then Lithuania, I just checked. Jonas Valanciunas and Domantas Sabonis are playing for them. So if you're talking about the USA lacking big men, maybe they just need someone, they just need McGee to throw at those guys, right? Because they don't really have much else outside of Bam.
Yeah, and so it's going to be extremely difficult. It's funny because in the odds for who's going to win the gold medal, it's Australia next, and then there's that big drop-off, and then Slovenia's after that. I'm surprised that I still think there are other teams that I would perhaps be a little more worried about if I was Team USA. Then I know Slovenia has Luka, and that's going to be tough. But, I mean, like, we've mentioned these other rosters. Like, they're serious NBA talent across these rosters. And I say that, and it almost feels like a little hollow because I'm looking at Team USA and saying, this team's so horrible, they only have 5 All-Stars. But what about Zoran Dragic? Like, you know, I feel a little silly putting it like that. But it just speaks to the talent getting better, and typically these foreign teams, they have a lot of players that, you know, they just around each other more. They participated in a lot of the Olympic trials. It's a much bigger deal than it is in the U.S. So it's, you know, Team USA kind of just slaps it all together in a month and throws it out there and tries to hopes everybody has enough chemistry to play. And sometimes it doesn't work. And I mean, if I can put it more time bluntly, with the close wins they had in 2016, on top of the depleted roster this time around, on top of the negative trend of the team, that's why I really honestly think they're going to lose. And if you want to, Jack, unless I've convinced you too much, I'm willing to make a bet with you on it, if you really want to go that route.
Yeah, no, I'll make a bet that Team USA still wins the gold.
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking. Whoever loses, you have to tweet. I would say the loser has to tweet a mild NBA take of the other person's choosing. I think I should put the stipulation it can't be Celtics related, and for your sake, I will not make it Heat or Hornet related either, or whatever the other one.
All right,
the other person has to say a take for the other person to tweet out. They have to leave it up for a day, and then they can maybe tweet out I lost a bet and I had to tweet this. So we'll see. Maybe we'll cheat on those rules a little bit, depending on what it is. But we'll discuss it and we'll come to a consensus on that. But I think that's what our bet should be.
Sounds good to me. I mean, I'm a little scared of Spain now that I looked at their roster. They got hordes of NBA talent: Pau Gasol, Rudy Fernandez, Sergio Rodriguez played in the league, you know, Ricky Rubio, you know, Marc Gasol, Willy Hernan Gomez, Usman Garuba is gonna be a beast in a couple years. Alex Abrines, Juancho Hernan Gomez. That team's going to be fun. I'm excited to watch the Olympics. It's going to be good basketball for a change, which is fun. But I still do think and am willing to make the bet that Team USA is going to win gold.
And just as we wrap this up, speaking of Team USA, did you catch the Team USA clip that they posted of Tatum and Udoka, working out a little bit and starting to gain some traction at Udoka Garden Tatum during practice?
Yeah, I think I did see that. It's nice to see. I'm excited for next year with Udoka. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah, and people were saying, like, oh, Brad would never do this. I'm pretty sure Brad has. I'm pretty sure we've seen videos of Brad
is in Vegas. I'm pretty sure Brad's in Vegas with them. That was reported, that he was going to Vegas to spend time with them.
Right, right. But I think people were saying, like, Brad would never, you know, work out with them during practice. And I'm like, that's just not true. Like, Brad's done.
Yeah, yeah.
Brad's played just as Brad's played the same, what would you even call it? Paper Tiger defense that Ime Udoka has played. So it's was playing. So I don't think that's necessarily fair to Brad or, you know, any of those guys really, but because it's I don't think it's necessarily the case. But regardless of that, I still, you know, it's still fun to see, and it's fun to see that Tatum seemed to be having, you know, a good time, and they seem to be enjoying each other having a run. By the way, the I will say the odds I looked at Australia second, the odds for this other site are pretty different. Team USA still the heavy favorite, -600, like heavy favorite. But there are a lot of teams within that 20-1, 20-1 odds. Spain is actually second on this one at 9-1. Australia 12-1. France 18-1. Slovenia 18-1. And then Nigeria's 25-1. Everybody else is 40-1 or lower. So, you know, I there are a lot of teams within that 25-1 to 9-1 range that, to me, I find very interesting, and why I think it's good to take the field. I know that I'm giving you like a supreme advantage when it comes to this because it's not exactly even odds, but we're making an even bet. But I don't mind. I think I'm fully convinced of this at this point that I doubt Team USA that much.
Well, I mean, props to you. I appreciate the free win. I'm looking forward to collecting on the bet because I don't see any way Team USA loses. Also, another name, back to your point, just very briefly, about, you know, the token college kids or whatever. I think that'd be so much more fun, right? Like, I was catching the FIBA U19 game, you know, Chet Holmgren versus, you know, France. Victor Wembanyama, I know it's not a hot take at this point. He's so good. I don't know if you've gotten the chance to watch him play. He's born in 2004, which makes me feel old, but he is the next, you know, best player in the NBA. He's absolutely disgusting, and there's going to be this huge influx of overseas talent coming to dominate the NBA soon, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, were you talking about the French guy that yes, the 7'2" guy that obviously played Rudy Gobert 1-on-1. Yeah. I've seen the clips of him a little bit, and his
nasty.
Is he, wait, so did you say he wasn't playing or he was playing?
He's not playing because he's not. Okay. I mean, I don't know if he's allowed to, but he's only 17, so he was playing in the U19 FIBAs.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know that definitely would have been interesting because I know he would have. Given if Rudy Gobert can't cover him, I'm not sure any Team USA center could have. So it was just a workout video, but yes, hopefully he can be special. It's just, you know, and I know they say, I feel so silly saying this because it's like the token thing that you say about every scrawny looking tall guy who, you know, whether it be Porzingis or Kevin Durant when they came out or whoever, but like, dude's got to put on a little bit of muscle because if he at 7'2" with that frame, like, it just, I know this is silly because it's not, it doesn't necessarily work like this, and you could be really durable even with that body type, but he looks like you could snap him in half so easily. Like, he's so, you know, just tall and skinny. That's the only thing that just, when you see him, it's like, you need him to put on a little bit of muscle.
Yeah, no, I agree. Him and Chet Holmgren, I think, need to put a little bit of muscle on. But I will say, like, in terms of defense, if you think he's going to get bullied around in center, he's just so good at positioning himself on that end of the floor. He had 8 blocks in the, like, championship game of the FIBA U19. So he's just such a great defender positionally that I don't think his strength necessarily will matter. That being said, like you said, he does look like you could just snap him in half. So he will need to put on a little bit of muscle, and I think NBA coaches will help with that. I'm just excited to see him in the league.
All right, Jack. Well, thank you for coming on. Appreciate it. We'll see who ends up winning on that bet. But ultimately, it should be fun either way. Appreciate you coming on, Jack, as always, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for having me. Anytime. It's always a pleasure.
All right, guys, you can go follow Jack on Twitter at JackSimoneNBA. Verified Jack Simone. Watch out. He's coming for coming with some fake NBA rumors. No, I'm just kidding. He's not. I don't think he's going to go that route. But you follow him because he covers a bunch of teams around the NBA. Like we said, Heat, Hornets, Celtics. And am I missing one now? Is that, I know you've added so many. Is that just those three, or is there another one?
Just Hornets, Celtics, and Heat for now. Maybe more to come, though. You never know.
All right. Well, guys, go check out Jack on Twitter at JacksMoneNBA. Check out Bannertown USA on Twitter as well, and go ahead and go over and follow them. You can follow me on Twitter at ByKJero. Follow the pod on Twitter at WicketSmartPod. Check out everything over at Kai Boston Sports, including the YouTube channel. Ev's been doing daily uploads over there, and the subscriber count's growing. So if you guys can get us to 1,000, that's the next goal. We'd really appreciate it. So go ahead and go check that out. Thank you guys for listening, as always, and we'll see you next week.